You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you most news, if it's real sports, entertainment, odd news, and what else you happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We've got topics prepared for you in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news. But that doesn't mean we won't go off the beaten path, have some fun.
That's right.
Go on to an unexplored subject.
That's right.
Ramble on incessantly.
That's right.
Because we're both sleep deprived this week.
That's right.
It's a big week this week. It's Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you fine folks that are
watching
our show. Hopefully, yeah, you got some gobbling to do.
Gobbling the gobble.
Yeah, hopefully you got some gobbling to do this week. It's interesting time right now. I'm kind of running on fumes, but for a good cause. I was on loan to another radio station.
Oh,
our classic rock station here in Philadelphia, MGK, had their annual turkey drop.
Nice.
Where they collect turkeys and cash donations for those less fortunate in the city of Philadelphia. So.
It was a great cause,
a blast to be a part of. Got to see Andre Gardner. I've run into him a couple times since we work in the same building. He's a big Beatles fan, so he's very excited because of something that's coming up in this week in entertainment, so stick around for that. But, yeah, it's all good. It was a great show of generosity. We even had one individual that on the spot donated 15 turkeys.
That's a lot of turkey.
In one clip.
That's a lot of turkey.
So it was good. It was one of those moments that made you feel good about the world. So,
yeah.
The only problem, though, was just like Camp Out for Hunger, it was very early in the morning. So right now I'm running on fumes already to start the show. So this is going to be interesting. Let's see.
Yikes.
Let's see how far we go.
All right.
Woo!
Let's do it.
Yay. So before we do that, Mike, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired because I just have terrible sleep habits.
All right, there you go.
But other than that, this weekend, I took a short trip to Boyertown, which is like 45, 50-ish minutes northwest of where I'm at in East Narnton.
You hopped on 422.
No, the GP Jesus had me take 73 all the way.
Did you say the GP Jesus?
GP Jesus, yeah.
GP Jesus.
Because
wow.
I say GP Jesus, take the wheel, and it guides me wherever I want to go. Okay. I don't know where anything is located. If I can't find it via GPS, I can't go there.
All right, there you go. Mike is going to be completely done if there's ever an EMP that gets unleashed.
Done. I'm still waiting for... to have completely autonomous, self-driving, self-navigating car, so I can just nap in the back seat. That is my.
So they haven't made it that far yet. Though.
No.
So I think I told you this. I rode in a Tesla.
Yeah.
That had the assistant driving feature.
Right.
And right now it's only in beta. So
right.
Whoever is driving the car still actually has to have their hand hovering over the wheel.
Right.
But. It's interesting. It will drive the car for you.
It's so freaky. I would love to see that.
Yeah, it uses obviously the GPS, but also uses these cameras that are installed around the Tesla to monitor where like the lines are in the paint, you know, and the traffic lights.
Right.
Which blew me away. Like the car actually knows when it's a red light and has come to a stop.
That is so cool.
So it's cool, but. It isn't as developed as you're hoping that it is. Not yet.
We'll get there eventually. But instead of going forward in time...
We're talking about Teslas. Welcome. Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hold on here. Let me transition back. So instead of looking forward in time, let's look back in time because I went to Boyertown to check out the Colebrookdale Railroad, which is a Civil War era train, right, that they have, that they've restored in the area. And you can buy tickets to take a 2-hour trip into the woods on this train. It's called the Secret Valley train line. Takes you through the woods, you know, a scenic route through that old, I guess it was a mining and logging area. And you have beautiful views over like valleys and ravines and rivers and stuff like that. But the cool gimmick about the whole thing is that you can pay a little bit of extra, a little bit extra to have brunch on the train or lunch or dinner, depending on the time that you go. So I took a trip up there. Had a fancy little brunch on the train, this 2-hour train ride into the woods. It was really nice. It was fantastic because the train cars are all decorated like how I would imagine they would be during the era, you know, the mid-1800s. Yeah. And everybody, all the staff on the train were dressed as such as well. And they, you know, put on quite the little show. You know, as you disembarked the train, they gave out flowers to all the ladies. And it was like a whole...
Yeah, you don't get any, Mike.
No, I don't get any, unfortunately.
No.
I was walking out of the train. It was awkward because I see them with flowers, and I'm like, do I take a flower? And so I kind of like slowed down my walking to see if they would offer me a flower, but they didn't offer me a flower.
No, you're a dude.
You know, I'm starting to understand the sexism thing everybody's talking about. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But anyway, so yeah, the cold.
It's either that or they know you're highly allergic, so they're like, oh no.
I think they were just looking out for me.
prepare for Mike's arrival. You can't handle flowers.
I put on the ticket thing. It's like, highly allergic, do not bring any flowers near
me. Dear God.
Oh, dear God. No, it was really cool. They you know, the service was great. They really made you feel like you're a, you know, a pampered upper crust, like, train riding folk from the 1800s. Folk. You know, because I imagine you had to be to ride trains back then, but it was pretty cool. So I recommend that to anybody looking for a unique little weekend activity. Go check out the Colebrookdale Railroad and hit them up for brunch or lunch. Or they also do seasonal things. They have a whole bunch of Christmas-themed things coming up. So definitely something to keep in mind. Check out.
Okay. There you go. That's what Mike's been up to this past week. All right. How about we get to all the topics at hand now? We've got some sports to go over, the wonderful world of football. So let's launch into the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face. And like I previously said, this is all football, baby.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football.
Oh yeah, a lot of football news to get to, and we're gonna hit a couple topics as fast as we can in the 2-minute drill. You ready, Mike?
Let's do it.
All right, there you go, the clock is armed. What do you have for us, Mike?
All right, well, this week in the 2-minute drill, we got one big topic, and that's all the big deals that the Eagles have been signing. So we haven't covered many of them, so we're going to recap them all right now because we've been making moves this year. They've been on a signing spree to keep a lot of their young talent with the team for the foreseeable future. So earlier in the season, the Eagles rewarded offensive tackle Jordan Mailata for his absolutely fantastic play. I mean, he's secretly become one of the best tackles in the entire league. So they rewarded him with a 4-year, $64 million deal. They also rewarded defensive end Josh Sweat to a 3-year, $40 million deal. So locking up some key talent on the offensive and defensive line.
Yeah, line's important.
It really is. But also important, the rest of the defense. And so they've been locking up some young talent there as well by extending cornerback Avante Maddox to a 3-year, $22.5 million deal, and linebacker TJ Edwards to a 1-year, $3.2 million deal. But of course, they also spent big money on offensive skill positions. They signed star-to-be tight end Dallas Goedert to a 4-year, $57 million deal, making him one of the highest paid tight ends in the NFL. And that was just a week or two after trading Zach Ertz.
He's had a couple of amazing catches in a few of these games recently.
Yeah, so he's been earning it.
Yeah, it looks like that contract is warranted. So that that's a good deal. Anything with the offensive line and defensive line is much needed to secure stability, because that's where the battle's first won. If you can't win on the lines,
you're not going
to
win.
No, it's very difficult to. So I like pretty much all those moves, except maybe the Avante Maddox move. Do you think he's worth the $22.5
million? $22.5 million is a lot for a slot corner. I think he provides depth at corner and safety, but
there you go.
No, that's what it is. I think more than $20 million for a nickel corner is a lot of money. Even though, you know, a lot of teams come out in nickel packages, it just seems like a lot of money.
Yeah. All right, so unfortunately with that, we got to move on from the two-minute drill topics, and let's get to one of the main topics here. We have the Philadelphia Eagles getting their first home win of the season. It finally took them to the middle of the season to finally accomplish.
Was this really
accomplish.
Their first home win?
Yep, this is their first home win. They knocked off the Saints, a hurt Saints, 40-29 here in Philadelphia.
Oh, good for you!
Where do you want to begin with this? Because
I
have opinions.
You have opinions. Okay. Well, I was at the game, and it was interesting because a lot of people started bailing around halftime because the score, at half was it 27-7. Then they come back from the half and they go up to 33-7.
Yeah, 33-7 was how bad it got at one point.
Completely lopsided. And it's one of those unique situations where we're beating a team that's hurting. We're not even above 500. We're crushing this team. And so people are leaving because it's a blowout. People are leaving because, you know, and I think in a lot of people's minds here in Philadelphia, the season was kind of a write-off. So people started bailing early. So I watched that first half when we put up all the points.
Yep.
And it's a lot of points, but I got to tell you, they don't look that impressive offensively.
No. Nope.
So I understand people look at the stat sheet. They see the 242 yards rushing against the best run defense in the league. I get it. And that is impressive. That is a feat to do that. But I still, and people disagree. I see online the people are like, you guys are wrong. Jalen Hurts is the guy, but I just don't see, he only completed 13 passes. And people would argue he doesn't need to complete that many passes, that this is a run first team. That's fine. I get that. But
this is a passing league.
This is a passing league. And unfortunately, the days of winning a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer or Brad Johnson or Joe Flacco are
what?
Yeah.
We just had him.
You just don't see that much anymore. And I know people are like, what about Nick Foles? He was a backup. Yes, but he also threw for like 400 million yards in that Super Bowl. Do you see Jalen Hurts shooting it out with a Patrick Mahomes or a Tom Brady or a Justin Herbert or a Josh Allen?
Yeah.
If he ever gets to that stage.
So my concern is the fact that Jalen Hurts had to rush this into the end zone 3 times.
Right. A lot of this offense rides on him. If ever he gets a stubbed toe, a hangnail, a sprained whatever, the offense is dead.
Yeah.
Done. Dead in the water.
Yeah.
He cannot. I watched multiple times. I pointed this out to Jordan. There were a couple of instances where the Saints are only bringing 3 guys. They're bringing 3 guys. They're trying to force Jalen Hurts to beat him with his arm. They're dropping all these guys back into coverage, and they're playing contain, right? And they're trying to prevent him from scrambling outside the pocket. Now, they weren't that successful in doing that. But he had a couple of plays where he was just hanging there in the pocket and just, like, either could not see. There was one moment that I distinctly remember because the crowd booed him. Missed a wide-open receiver streaking down into the end zone because he's busy 360-ing in the pocket.
Yep.
Trying to scramble. And I get it.
It's like the QB vision in that one Madden game.
Right, exactly. I get it. He's electrifying. He changes the game. He's an X factor. I'm not denying that. What I'm saying is that you take away that X, and he becomes basically a moot point.
He's got to get better. at being a quarterback, ironically, even though yes. that's his name, even though that's the position that he's labeled. He needs to develop more of those passing skills that's going to be required when you face a competitive team that will take away your ability to run the ball, to scramble,
yeah.
to do those.
Do you know who he reminds me of? Is a very early Mike Vick minus the cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
Because the big criticism of Mike Vick is he's a running back who has an arm. Jalen Hurts is a running back who I don't think has the arm strength.
He could be a quarterback.
He could be. There was one. Like,
it's a big could.
It's a big could. There was one pass. It was maybe like 30 yards. It was like deep, but not too deep. He floated this thing. The defender had at least 2 to 3 seconds to close the gap and bat this ball down. And it was so upsetting. But the crowd, again, was, you know, booing this duck of a pass he threw up there. He yeah. just doesn't have the elite arm strength or vision, I think.
Yeah. Just to go over stats again, Hurts 13 of 24 for 147 passing yards.
And I get it. People are like, well, he didn't need to pass. Okay, fine. But what about when he does?
Yeah.
Not to mention the Saints were injured on offense.
Yes.
Incredibly injured.
That's another thing. So, yeah, that's another thing I wanted to bring up. This Saints team is not as good as their record indicates because they have lost.
Who in the hell is Trevor Siemian?
They have lost so much capital on their offense that it's pathetic. I mean, of course they only allowed a touchdown through the first three quarters. That defense should have.
Right.
With a third string quarterback and no Alvin Kamara and no Michael Thomas.
Right.
Literally. Star quarterback, star wide, first string quarterback, star wide receiver, star running back, all out in this game for the Saints. So, I mean,
their second string quarterback is done too.
Isn't he? Yeah. Well, I mean, depends on how you want to view how they utilize their depth chart.
Who, Taysom Hill?
Yeah, because that's.
Well, they just gave him a contract that could be either $40 or $90 million. Yeah. So you tell me how they view him,
right?
A pretty important part to the offense.
That's a big $50 million swing there.
Did you see that?
Yeah. It's a hybrid contract.
Yeah. The point is they're missing.
Damn Saints are ruining everything.
The point is they were missing a potentially $90 million talent on offense, and people are parading around the streets because we beat an incredibly injured Saints team who was on the road, by the way, and who yep. managed to bring it within 11 points regardless. And people are saying, I know, we played soft defense in the fourth. Okay, that's fine. But. So, I don't know. Maybe this is a good opportunity to go into our next segment, Rich.
Yes.
Instead of beating around the bush.
Yes, let's just launch into what we need to talk about. And that is the fact that, the Eagles right now, they're on the upswing right now, winning their last 3 of 4 games. Folks, is it possible to talk about a possible playoff run? Let's get into Fluke or Nah.
Old Open Specialist John Bruno DeSanzo presents Fluke or Nah!
Yep, so winning their last 3 of 4 games, they are now sitting at 5-6, second in the division. Is this a fluke or not? Could the Eagles actually make a playoff push?
Yes.
Oh, so you're saying it's a gnaw.
This is a gnaw. I think it pains.
Mike, let me hear it.
Gnaw!
Yeah, there you go.
It pains me to say it because everybody knows where I've been standing this season, that I think it's a rebuilding year. My worst fear is that the Eagles go, 9-8?
There you go. That's your official gnaw sound effect.
But my fear is that the Eagles go 9-8. They sneak into the playoffs. They don't do anything. And then our draft picks suffer because of it. I know it's a very defeatist attitude to take, but it was one that I was prepared to see happen in this season.
Yeah. The rest of this schedule is weak as hell.
The Eagles are going to make the playoffs.
So the Eagles have the New York trip coming up. They have at Giants, at Jets coming up. So literally they could just camp out in the Meadowlands, New Jersey for the next 2 weeks. That could possibly be 2 wins. That could possibly put them at 7-6.
Right,
going into the bye week.
They cross 500. They go into the bye week. They have a chance to rest up. They come right back against a pitiful Washington. First matchup of the season.
They've been on a little bit of a tear, too. They beat the Buccaneers.
Okay, congratulations.
I thought you were a Mr. Tom Brady fan over there. That's not a big accomplishment?
No, I mean, it is a big accomplishment, but they're still 4-6.
Okay. Yeah, 4-6. That's where the Eagles were last week.
NFC East teams just know how to play Brady. It doesn't mean they're good. It just means they know how to play Brady. The Giants beat them twice. And I don't think anybody's going to look at Eli Manning and be like, that's definitely the quarterback that I want quarterbacking my team in the regular season. No.
You don't want Eli derp face?
No, I don't want Eli's derp deer in headlights face. Washington got lucky. The Eagles in 2017, I'm leaning towards getting lucky as well, given the past few seasons.
No BDN?
I mean, always. But anyway, back to the schedule.
Yes, back to
I think they beat Washington coming out of the bye. They're refreshed. They're rejuvenated. They're feeling positive. Another point here that I think needs to be made is they don't have to get on a plane the rest of the schedule.
No.
That all these games are home games or right there in D.C. or New York. I mean, the team doesn't have to travel anywhere. That's a huge benefit with a bye late in the year.
So,
a lot of weak opponents.
Yeah, just to get it on the record, the remaining games left for the Eagles are at Giants, at Jets, bye week. At home versus Washington, at home versus Giants, at Washington, and then the finale is at home against Dallas.
I'm starting to think that Dallas is the only game that we drop.
Wow, that's scary.
It is scary.
That means the Eagles finished 10-7?
Yeah.
No, that's not happening.
All right, so you tell me what the other loss is.
All right, so I just have a theory.
Well, first, are you fluke or not? And the question is, are the Eagles, or could the Eagles be a playoff team?
So, this is kind of a cop-out.
Because remember, they're 7 now. They're 7 now, Rich. They barely have to succeed.
Right. So, this may be a little bit of a cop-out answer. Are the Eagles a playoff team? It's possible, but I would say if they are, it's still a fluke that they, if that happens, that they do it. Because I'm telling you right now, the Eagles... The Eagles are still the Eagles. They're going to eagle something. All right.
Eagles will be Eagles.
Yeah, Eagles are going to eagle. They're going to eagle something up here. And I think it's going to be at the Jets. Something tells me they're going to go in the Giants. Big division game. They'll show up for that. They'll go 6-6. Going to be feeling high and mighty. And then turn around, look at the Jets, and go, oh, it's the Jets. No big deal. Bam! And that'll be the one that'll slap them in the face.
It's interesting because the Eagles would be the one team to fall into a trap game before a bye. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, the literal worst team in the league. We can't wait to be on vacation for the bye week and just get absolutely smacked by the Jets on the road.
Yep. So right. I personally have that factor. I think the Jets game could be a secret trap game. Then coming off of the bye week is not going to be as important as you think it will be, Mike. Bye weeks... tend to be more beneficial to better head coaches because they're the ones that really use the time to rest, but also really come through and scheme what their next couple opponents are.
Right.
The people I'm thinking of is like an Andy Reid, a Bill Belichick.
What, Flower Child Nick Sirianni doesn't do it for you?
No, he's not going to. This is his first
to be
year.
Fair, this is his first bye week. We don't know how he's going to respond to it.
I don't know. If you had to put a gun to my head and tell me, is he going to really use that to his benefit, I don't think he'll be
not adapted the offense the past few weeks? Going 3 out of 4?
I think by necessity, which, by the way, that's going to be a weird issue that they've got to address in the offseason. Oh. How did this offense turn better when Miles Sanders got hurt?
Oh, Miles Sanders is getting traded.
Like, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Mark my words, Miles Sanders is getting traded.
Your top running back goes down and your offense suddenly becomes better? I don't know. There's something weird with that. I think that was one of those. They threw things at the kitchen sink, and luckily one of the game plans worked, and they started running with it. But anyway, that's a different topic. That's for off-season stuff. I think at Jets, and then maybe the first one against Washington, I think those are both – I think they can be both be losses. And Dallas, I think, is going to be a loss. So I don't know. I still don't see a playoff push happening.
You are legit still trying to get your under 6 games.
I think that might be a lost cause now after this win to the Saints. That kind of blew it. So yeah, I may not be cashing in my ticket for under 6.5 wins. But I still don't think they make the playoffs.
I think they take 4 of these games. They end up 9-8. Maybe I think they end up 9-8. I think they sneak in as a seventh.
Oh, great. So just the blown out in the
just
first
like
round.
Literally my worst nightmares come true.
Yep, there you go. They're gonna face off against like the Packers and just get wiped out.
Yeah.
Just for you, Mike, because you hate the Packers too.
I hate the Packers. Aaron Rodgers doesn't even want to be there, and they're like the best team. It's so frustrating.
I don't even want to be here.
Aaron Rodgers like playing at like 75%. He's like, sure, whatever. I'll just be one of the best. I'll just drag this team to the playoffs.
I don't even want to be here.
Meanwhile, the Eagles spend like 17 first round picks on wide receivers and quarterbacks, and like we don't know how to football.
How does football work?
It's so frustrating.
Yes, it is. It's very
some teams just like stumble backwards into generational talents, completely waste them, and the Eagles have to fight tooth and nail to get like one good guy every decade.
Yeah. Such is life. Such is life for a Philadelphia fan. All right. So speaking of trying to predict the future, let's get into the segment where we've got four games that we want you to keep an eye out for and that we're going to predict here with the Fantastic Four picks. We've got the prediction techno music going. Mike, what's on the docket?
First up, we have a potential AFC playoff preview. We have the Tennessee Titans traveling to New England to face off against the Patriots, a resurgent Patriots without Tom Brady sitting at 7-4 and threatening to take control of the AFC East. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans are still down Derrick Henry. Who do you see taking this one?
It's the Patriots.
Wow.
And boy, after the whipping I saw them put on the Falcons on Thursday night, I think the rest of the AFC needs to panic. This Patriots team is the real deal. That defense is rolling.
Yep.
Belichick, he is a defensive mastermind. That defense is not letting people through. They're not letting teams score. Their last couple of games they've only allowed first the shutout against the Falcons, but also like two or three possessions to score. I mean, this is a team you do not score heavy on. And Belichick likes it that way because that gives pressure, that takes pressure off of Mac Jones. That's like the perfect combo for what a rookie quarterback needs in his first season, that he doesn't have to keep slinging it over and over and over again. You've got a defense that can stop the bleeding, that can stop the momentum from going the other way and prevent wild games. This is it's shocking. The last couple of games I've watched with the Patriots, how it's played perfectly into Bill Belichick's hands. He's back to being Emperor Palpatine. So not only am I going with the Patriots to win this game, AFC, they better watch out. This team is getting, they're gelling, they're connecting, they're getting hot at the right time. I even the Bills. I was high on the Bills a couple weeks ago. I don't know. That first, they still got two matchups with them coming up. Yeah. I don't know. This division is not wrapped up.
The Patriots have been on a tear. They've won, let me see if I can find here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in a row. Now, they're not just necessarily beating lackluster opponents like the Jets. They also beat the Chargers in there. I know the Browns have been kind of struggling, but the Browns still have a winning record. The Falcons, they're kind of a middling team, but again, shut them out.
Just
crush them. Shutouts are hard in the NFL.
You could be the worst team, but a shutout is still amazing in the NFL. The rules are built for offense,
right?
And they couldn't get anything going.
Right, and remember, the Falcons aren't terrible on offense either. They still have Matt Ryan.
I don't know.
You don't know?
He might be kicking his last tires.
Well, the point that I'm trying to get at is that I agree that the Patriots have found some sort of secret recipe here in the second half of the season, and they seem to have an idea of what they're doing and where they're going. Meanwhile, Tennessee still down Derrick Henry. It's going to be tough for them to gel on offense and get something going. Their defense is not spectacular, so it gives, you know, Mac Jones a little bit of extra leeway there. I think the Patriots, you know, comfortable at home, they might take this one.
Yep.
I'm going Patriots as well. Next up, though, we have an NFC playoff preview. We have the LA Rams facing off against the Green Bay Packers. Rich, who do you like in this one? Both these teams doing very well.
Yeah, But, you know, there's something weird about the Rams.
They were really hot. They seemed to be cooling off a little bit.
Yeah, they got off to a really hot start, and I don't know. They've kind of cooled off. They're not as dominant as they were at the beginning of the season. On the other hand, kind of like what you said, Aaron Rodgers doesn't even have to put in full 100% effort, and the Packers just win games. That's how good he still is with this team. Yeah, I think this is just one of those games. I think the Packers just going to be comfortable at home. They don't have to overexert themselves. They just have to play smart football. They got lucky again with another running back. A.J. Dillon has been a beast. It's Packers, I think, all the way here.
Yeah, this one's tough because, you know, I want to say Rams, but this is the period of the season where the Packers really shine. You know, they always bring it on late in the season. The Rams, like you said, have been kind of wavering a little bit. They're not as dominant as they used to be. They're still very dominant, but this, I think this one's actually really tough, but I think the slight edge. No, you know what? I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna go Packers. I was on the verge of saying Rams, but then I remembered that the Packers lost to the Vikings. They're gonna want to win one, you know, here
coming
at home,
off loss,
coming
yeah.
off the loss. The Rams barely beat the, I think it was the Steelers. I was just looking at the scores for the previous week's games. You know, gave up 37 to the Steelers. I thought the Rams were supposed to have a great defense, and you give up 37 to the 5-4-1 Steelers.
All right, so there
you
go.
So I'm going with Packers as well. Next up, though, we have a battle for the AFC North. The Cleveland Browns are traveling to Baltimore to face off against the Ravens. Rich, can the Cleveland Browns save their season?
I don't know. This is another one that's kind of shocking how far they've fallen compared to the beginning of the season. They were looking pretty good. They had the offense was rolling, but we've had some drama behind the scenes. Getting rid of OBJ was supposed to cure the team, and instead it really hasn't. There's still some drama going on with Baker Mayfield, whether or not the team is going to endorse him for a fifth season.
The fans were booing them as they barely beat the Lions 13-10.
Yeah, doesn't look good.
That is a struggle if I've ever seen one.
Right. Whereas the Ravens are coming in high-flying with Lamar Jackson. I think you got to go Ravens here.
Yeah, you know, I know we're agreeing on every single one of them here, but the Browns have really been struggling the past couple of weeks. And the Ravens have proven themselves the past couple of years that they will always be there. You know, more often than not, they're going to win games. They're a pretty reliable team, especially at home. You know, they're going to be comfortable. I think this one's kind of simple. I think it's Ravens as well. They're going to want to crush their division opponent and really solidify themselves as the top team in that division.
Yep.
And finally, we both talked about it already, but let's get it on the record. Philadelphia Eagles at New York Giants. Is this the beginning of a playoff push, Rich? Will this game bring us to 500 and beyond? Super Bowl,
well,
even? Rich,
you know,
maybe?
You know, well, you know, there's something else to consider here. The New York Giants actually just today fired Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator. So
yeah,
maybe the Giants changed things up just enough to throw things out of whack with a favored Eagles team.
Okay, now stop being funny and tell us why the Eagles are going to win.
I don't know. You know,
are you serious?
I don't have much faith in this Eagles team.
I mean, neither do I.
My bigger lock, for a better word, is if the Eagles do win this game this week, go Jets next week. I'm telling you. That sounds like the most Philadelphia sports thing I've ever heard.
They did it a few years back with the Dolphins.
Yes.
And we won like $60-some
dollars
on that.
Against
Fitzmagic.
Yeah. It's Fitzmagic. Same thing happened. I'm telling you. This sounds like history repeating itself. That they pull this one off, but they're going to come against like the Jets right before that bye week, and they're going to think they have it in the bag, and they're going to blow it. So that's really my bigger prediction, is if they win this one, get your money ready and bet on the Jets.
You can tell we're both Eagles fans, like diehard Eagles fans, because we're so bitter and cynical all the time, and
yes.
I love it. I'm going to push down that bitterness and cynicism and say the Eagles, on the back of Boston Scott, will win this game against the Giants. Boston Scott, giant killer.
There you go.
The dude has like 5 touchdowns against like in like 2 games against the Giants or something ridiculous like that.
Really?
Yeah. Look up Boston Scott's stats against the Giants. Huh. He has like, I think it's like over 220 rushing yards, like another 200 receiving yards, like multiple touchdowns.
Wow.
Yeah, they're gonna come out against the Giants and single-handedly Boston Scott.
Just Boston Scott. Don't put anybody else on the field.
The Eagles are going to have, here, ready? The Eagles put up over, I think it was like 240 yards against the best run defense in the league. Against the Giants, we're going to put up at least 270 rushing yards. Half of them will be Jalen Hurts. The other half will be split between Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. All the touchdowns will be rushing touchdowns.
All right, so there you go.
We're gonna win.
Mike is giving prop bets now.
Yeah, we're gonna win something stupid like 17-10.
That's pretty common.
No, but I mean, like,
oh, I thought you were talking about the score. I thought you were giving like a unique score. You said
no.
Stupid. So.
Well, no, I meant like we should crush the Giants
19-5.
19. You know. Yes, that's right. 19-5. Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
That means the Eagles took a safety at some point.
Took a safety, and also, how do you get to 19? That's like just a lot of field goals and maybe a 2-point conversion. In
yeah.
There. Yeah, that's what
so
it's
going to
be.
So there you go, 19-5.
19-5. Mark my words.
Watch us be right.
It's 19-6.
Yeah, there you go. 19-5. Put that in your books and smoke it. All right, and with that, we got to wrap up the sports sampler. There you go. A lot of football news to get to. All footballed out here, but we are not podcasted out. We still have the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news still to come. We'll be right back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Don't go anywhere.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Ready for the weekend? Happy Friday. Hi, my name's Marie, and I'm an artist who's been making Happy Friday doodles every week for over 7 years. And now you can own my art collection in this Volume 1 and Volume 2 art series. These doodles span across multiple themes, yearly festivities, various countries, languages, and more. Both coffee table books have something for everyone and are the perfect conversation starter or gift for a friend. Really, anyone who enjoys a good weekend. Available on Amazon, Ingram, BookBaby, Barnes & Noble, and more. Visit happyfridaydoodles.com/books and get your copies today. Let's celebrate the best day of the week. Happy Friday.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
We're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler. A lot of football news. Can't believe the Eagles are back in the forefront of some things with the division race and stuff like that. But welcome to 2021. Nothing makes sense.
We've been saying that for 3 years now.
Yes, and every year gets worse and worse.
I'm terrified for 2022.
Yes. But we'll put that panic on hold because we have to get to some more segments coming up. And this next one revolves around movies, TV, video games, stuff like that with the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
All right, Entertainment Entree time, and we're going to start it off with the segment where Mike is going to let you know what you should keep an eye out for this upcoming weekend with TV, movie, video games, stuff like that. And it's appropriate, too, Thanksgiving weekend, so you got some time to check any or all of these options out with Mike's This Week in Entertainment. All right, Mikey, what should people do while they got some time off on Thanksgiving?
All right, well, first up in theaters, a pretty big one is coming to theaters, the highly anticipated crime drama House of Gucci comes to theaters this week. It tells the true story of an outsider marrying into the Gucci Italian family empire. Her ambition pits the family against each other and begins to unravel the family legacy, causing a spiral of betrayal, revenge, and even murder. That's right, murder.
Ooh,
it
murder.
Looks pretty interesting. It's got a huge star-studded cast headlining the film, including Lady Gaga, Adam Driver, Jared
Lady Zsa.
Leto. Lady Zsa. Adam Driver, Jared Leto, Jeremy Irons, Al Pacino.
Al!
That's right.
Hoo-ah!
Hoo-ah! And Selma Hayek. Unfortunately, the cast can't seem to save this film. Rotten Tomatoes has it currently sitting at a 67% with an average score of 6.2 out of 10. Everybody's praising Lady Gaga's performance as brilliant. So
she's a good actress.
Keep an eye on her during award season, maybe.
Yeah.
She's getting a lot of good press about this role here. So that's House of Gucci coming to theaters this week.
I like the Zsa.
I like the Zsa, too.
Yeah. I think more power to her.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, go check out House of Gucci. In television.
Zsa, Gucci.
Zsa, Gucci, yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
I think Lady Gaga's Italian.
Sure.
Isn't her name like Stefania something or other? It's Italian sounding.
Sure.
Somebody look it up. And
hey.
Paisan.
Hey, Paisan.
Anyway.
Que bella.
In TV, I'll tell you what's que bella in TV. We got two great shows coming to Disney Plus this week. First up, Hawkeye is continuing the trend of Marvel TV shows. It follows Clint Barton, Hawkeye, as he trains a fan of his to become the next Hawkeye. Hawkeye. How many times can you say Hawkeye in one sentence?
Hawk.
Hawk. Hi. So that is the new Marvel show coming to Disney Plus. Also on Disney Plus is The Beatles Get Back, a new streaming documentary from Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson. In it, he uses the same restoration techniques he used for his World War I documentary to bring 60 hours of footage back to life in a three-part, six-hour miniseries. This sounds incredible. The documentary covers the Beatles as they wrote and rehearsed 14 new songs for their final two albums, Abbey Road and Let It Be. It also shows the relations of the four band members, and it shows that they maybe weren't as bitter as was widely believed at the time. But the highlight of the miniseries is the Beatles' final concert on the roof of their London headquarters, which will be shown in its entirety for the first time in history.
Yes.
So that sounds incredible.
Yep. This is a big deal for any Beatles fan. And when I was talking to MGK's Andre Gardner this morning at the turkey drop, he literally has put three alarms on his phone because they're going to get released, I think, Pacific time.
Okay.
So he is going to wake up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 3 a.m. to immediately watch the documentaries that each episode comes out on.
So, side note, I watched Peter Jackson's World War I documentary, They Will Not Grow Old. It was incredible. I mean, the way he took this film and restored it, he took black and white footage and restored it into color, and he got lip readers to determine what the people on the film were saying, and they dubbed over it with period accurate accents and everything. I mean, it was fantastic from top to bottom. So if he brings that same type of technological magic to restoring this footage and bringing the Beatles back to life and showing them as they were writing and rehearsing those songs and performing them, I mean, that sounds incredible.
Yep.
So go check out The Beatles Get Back on Disney Plus this week. And finally,
join Andre Gardner at 3 a.m.
That's right. maybe not at 3 a.m., but another time, later in the day, perhaps.
The turkey will not condemn him. He wants to stay up.
That's right. But finally, in this week in entertainment, one final plug for a local event happening that you can check out. in your area, go check out Marie Thresher's book signing this weekend, Sunday, October 28th at Moravian Bookshop in Bethlehem, PA from 1 to 3 p.m. You can pick up your own set of her Happy Friday Doodles art books, get them signed, all while supporting local artists and businesses and just coming out and having a good time and just hanging out a little bit. I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I still think it's so cool that I'm going to go get a book signed by a friend who is now a published author.
Yes, you're getting your book signed by someone you know.
Yeah.
Yes.
We can be like hipsters. We can be like, oh, like we knew her before she was famous. Yeah, exactly. Yep. We saw the doodles before they were published in book form. We were trendy like that.
There you go.
So perfect. We'll go there. We'll be hipster art enthusiasts. Come be hipster art enthusiasts with us. That once again, that's Sunday, October 28th at Moravian Bookshop in Bethlehem, PA, from 1 to 3 p.m. Come get your very own Happy Friday Doodle art book set and get them signed by Marie Thresher, the author and artist herself. Support local artists, support local businesses. That's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment, This Week in Entertainment. All right, so this next topic is going to mesh video games and TV news. We're both big fans of Mass Effect. Obviously, we have a promo clip of the commander himself, Commander Shepard, welcoming us to the podcast. So that's cool.
Yep.
But this is looking to reach the next step, jumping from video games to possibly TV with Amazon in this latest news article here.
Yeah. So this broke actually just before recording. As we were finalizing the rundown, I got, you know, a couple of entries on my news feed that was reporting that Amazon is in fact nearing a deal to make a Mass Effect TV series. This is reported by Deadline that says that they are close. They're in the final stages of reaching an agreement with EA to secure the rights for Mass Effect to make into a TV series. Now, there's not many details right now. They don't know whether this is for original stories in the universe, whether this is for a direct adaptation of one or more of the games. Obviously, you have the trilogy, you have Andromeda, you have many different side stories from novels and comic books to I think they had a cartoon movie at one point, like a short featuring, what's his name, James Vega from the third game.
Yeah.
So tons of content to draw from for Amazon. And this is, you know, to some people it might be like, wow, it's kind of out of nowhere, Amazon signing a deal to make a Mass Effect TV series. It sort of seems like it came out of nowhere. But when you really think about Amazon and their focus on genre fiction, okay, so they have popular sci-fi shows like The Expanse, which is coming into its final season, so they're going to need to replace that. They have the recent success of their book adaptation, Wheel of Time, another sci-fi series. They have Lord of the Rings coming out in the next couple of years, as well as The Boys from the world of comic books. So Amazon is going all in on genre fiction, sci-fi and fantasy, and they've had some of the higher-ups there say that they want to continue investing in sci-fi and fantasy of all kinds. And so Mass Effect makes perfect sense when you think about it through that lens of Amazon wanting to continue this trend.
Yes. It's not that far of a leap. And you know, other companies, they're looking at video game entities as well. So it makes sense that Amazon would want their own major video game franchise. But what's interesting is kind of what you said, that Amazon is kind of almost limitless because of how big they are, how much money they deal with. There are a lot of avenues they could go with this project. It doesn't have to be a straight up TV series. I mean, this could be turned into a very successful choose your own adventure story or something like that.
Yeah, I could definitely see, you know, because Mass Effect has that pedigree as one of the big choose your own adventure style games from the past decade or so. I could see Amazon leveraging their internet background, their infrastructure, to make a Bandersnatch style show where users can decide, you know, how they want it to go. And, you know, Amazon could very well film a couple different versions of select scenes. You know, does Rex live or die on Vermeer?
Caden or Ashley.
You know, Amazon has very, very deep pockets. When you look at the Lord of the Rings deal, I mean, this was, I think it was like a couple $1 billion. Like, Amazon is not afraid to spend money. And because of, obviously, the company that they are, they have almost limitless funds. I mean, it's just constantly pouring in, especially, you know, given the recent pandemic, they made even more money. So they have very deep pockets. They can pretty much do whatever they want to with this series, which I'm really excited about, because I always thought early on when I heard rumors of Mass Effect becoming a movie, I said, we both said that they're missing the mark here. Mass Effect is not a movie. It's a TV series.
Yeah.
From the very beginning, we were like, they were like, we said, this is not a movie. Mass Effect is a TV show.
Yep.
The second game especially is laid out like a TV show, with each mission where you recruit the new squad member, you have the loyalty missions. I mean, you have a 20-episode season right there, basically.
Yeah, the whole arc.
The whole, yeah. So it basically writes itself, you know? So I'm really excited for this. I think there is great potential here. And I think that going back to, you mentioned other TV groups are doing their own video game adaptations, HBO with Last of Us, Amazon doing Fallout as well. Obviously, Netflix has tons of video game adaptations between The Witcher. I think they have an Assassin's Creed project coming out, a Resident Evil project coming out. This is the next big frontier. Where video game movies failed, video game TV series, I believe, will be what puts video games more into the non-gaming mainstream.
Yeah, and it's a smart move.
It is.
I mean, there's a reason why there are legions of Mass Effect fans. So Legion. This is, like what I did there.
Yeah.
It's a smart deal from Amazon. I totally get it.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I'm excited for it, and I think that it's coming at a very good time, because EA, of course, released the remastered trilogy not too long ago.
Yep.
And they're also teasing a new game in the works. I mean, you can imagine new game coming out in maybe 2024, 2025. You know, that's 4 years away, just enough time to maybe shoot a season of a TV show and get it ready to launch alongside a video game. I mean, it's kind of right there, right?
Yep. The only question is who's gonna play Liara.
That's the only thing that you care about.
Yes, that's very important.
That's if they go with adapting the trilogy. They could do original stories.
They could do. Yeah.
I want them. So you know what's interesting? I've been replaying the trilogy with my girlfriend, and I brought up the fact that I thought it would make a great TV show, and she goes, "I don't think that I'd want to see a TV show of it because it wouldn't be my choices."
Right.
And I was like, okay, I get that. So there are two groups of fans here. You know, people like us were like, I don't care if they choose a canon storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are other fans like my girlfriend who's like, no, I want my story.
Yeah.
So where do you fall on that? Amazon doesn't go the choose your own adventure route,
I'm kind of like this is playing with house money. I would never think a video game franchise would actually make it to live action TV show.
Right.
So to me, this is all house money. If they actually go through with this and make a full season of Mass Effect,
any TV show is a win.
Yeah. So if they have to do a canon ending or canon storyline, so be it. But you know, to me, that's worth the risk of seeing this into fruition. So it would be playing with house money, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. I'm in agreement. I'm just excited to see it come to life and see their version of events and their version of stories. So I don't mind if they pick a canonized version.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind either.
They could also take a poll beforehand.
Yeah, poll?
No, I mean, the gameplay statistics are there. How many people go Paragon? How many people go Renegade? How many people choose to recruit you know, certain characters.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do have stats.
The gameplay stats are out there. If 70-some percent of people kill Ashley or Caden, whoever it is, that's the canon.
Yeah, boo.
You know, it's that simple, right? Yeah. It doesn't seem like...
I'm pretty sure 90% of people, I think, save Rex. Oh. So that's
one. Oh, absolutely.
I think Rex is if that's a choice.
I think Rex would be safe.
Yeah.
I think there's certain characters that you need to keep alive throughout the series that you can kill but probably shouldn't because it makes better storylines.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately,
I'm trying to avoid some spoilers for the third game because I know Rachel hasn't gotten to the third game yet.
No.
But there are certain characters that sometimes you kill, Rich.
Hey,
that you should keep alive.
It happens.
I know it happens.
Especially in your first playthrough.
I know. It's tough to keep them alive.
It is.
Can you believe that out of all of us, I lost players my first playthrough. Rachel lost players her first playthrough. Did you lose players your first playthrough?
I lost Morden. Yeah,
you lost Morden. Jordan didn't lose anybody.
Yeah,
and I didn't tell her who to pick either.
I don't know. I feel like there's some cheating going on over
there.
No,
there was no cheating.
I don't know. But we'll have to leave it at that because let's go to a segment where cheating might be approved.
Oh, okay.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I've seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. Fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell, right?
Odd news.
That's right, everyone. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here. In this segment, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds a weird and wacky story and keeps it hidden from me, which ensures that my reaction is my genuine gut reaction to hearing this story for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. Rich, I'm ready to get started. Where are we heading to?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Back home to Florida.
You know, we took a detour to Kentucky last week, I think, and this week we're back to Florida. You know, I got feedback that I was harsh on Kentucky.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
To Kentucky, one, I didn't know you had internet. and two, I am sorry. No, it's all love. It's all love, guys. It's all love. I joke because you know, I'm the first one to criticize Pennsylvania and Philadelphia. So it's all love. But
that was good.
Joking aside, because Kentucky knows that I'm just joking about them. Florida, on the other hand, Florida.
It is Florida. So here we are.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
So, I know you love stupid reasons.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I think you're going to find this story very interesting here in Florida.
Okay.
So, we're going to look over the kale of...
The kale. No, Rich. They don't eat kale in Florida.
Kale. The tale of 28-year-old Nicole Gregory. I looked at Nicole... And I said, and I was thinking tail as my next word, and it came out as kale.
Kale.
Like, yeah,
which is funny because, you know, you think of places that eat kale, and Florida is not one of them.
Yes. Oh, here we go. I'm just about to stumble to the finish line, folks.
You can
here
make it,
go.
Rich. You can make it. Come on, we can do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, I can make it better than this story here. We're going to follow the tale of 28-year-old Nicole Gregory. She's an interesting perp here in Florida. There's her mugshot. Her selfie. She had a selfie photo. They didn't take a mugshot of her.
Okay.
Nice little selfie photo.
Yeah, nice.
Gotta take a selfie. Very important. Very important in this world. You gotta have selfies.
Of course.
She was busted after a sheriff's deputy spotted her dropping a bag.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so that's, not, you know.
That's suspicious. Right, it's probably drugs.
Yep. The cop noted in the police report that the defendant intended to sell the baggie that contained four, quote, bumps of fentanyl.
Okay.
So there you go. Not good. So
no.
She's trying to be your local drug dealer here.
Okay.
So an undercover cop also was able corroborate.
You can do it, Rich.
Was able to corroborate that she was trying to sell the drug for $10 per bump.
Is that a good going rate?
I don't know. Per bump. That sounds weird. I don't know. I didn't know.
Per bump.
Is that like
I know.
Street lingo.
It's what the kids are saying.
Get that fentanyl bump.
Sure. Is $10 a good rate? Like, is she making any profit on that?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like she'd be a little bit higher, but I don't know.
$10 per.
I also don't know what a bump is. Is that like
how much is a bump, like, in terms of like grams or ounces,
right?
Or like.
Yeah, I think we got to get a better fentanyl measuring system here.
Yeah.
don't know what a bump is. All right, but here comes the good part, and this is what I think you'll laugh your ass off at. So while being interrogated at the police station, they asked her why she was doing it. She then claimed that, quote, I was selling the narcotics because I need money for an attorney for my other drug charge.
Oh, my God.
Yes, she has a lot of drugs in her future.
You make me very, very mad. You eat the cheeseburger and smoke the crack?
Yes. So
that is awful.
They checked out her background, and it turned out that she is awaiting another case
for
crack cocaine and meth usage.
Oh, wow.
So she was caught with illegal drugs, out on bail,
right?
Then
so
decides
to
become go to a step higher, actually become a drug dealer,
right? To pay for
the defense for her charges that she just got out on bail for.
So I can see
what circular logic.
It's brilliant, right? It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like a perpetual motion machine.
Yeah.
Here's the problem.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
Oh, it already is, Michael Scott. Here's the problem, though. I see a problem with escalation here.
Yes.
Because now, so she went from using to dealing, right? Next.
Got caught with that.
So now she's going to have to traffic to pay for the lawyer.
Oh, no. I would think the next step up would be.
No, it's traffic and then make. And then produce your own drugs.
No,
you would reverse them?
No. I think you got to go down to making.
So it's using, selling, making.
Yeah, and then three strikes you're out.
Three strikes you're out.
That's it. If you can't,
how does she pay?
It.
How does she pay for the attorneys for the case of her making the drugs? Then
yeah, at three strikes you're out. That's it. You're doomed.
You're doomed.
That's it. You're out at the old jail cell.
Do they just execute you on the spot?
No.
How does this three strikes and you're out?
You're just stuck in jail. That's it. You're done.
You just get life in prison. You know, I feel like if you get three strikes, you should just you're done.
Yeah,
just keep them locked up.
Right. You had three opportunities, and you failed at every single one of them.
Yeah. You're done.
Yep.
You're done.
Yes. Exactly. You know what she did?
What?
What was it? She done goofed.
Because she done goofed.
That's what she did.
She did.
That was the correct answer. So yeah, according to court records, she was arrested last month for having methamphetamine with an undercover cop. When she was searched, she was also found to be in possession of fentanyl. So she really likes fentanyl. That seems to be the drug of choice here. So she's now up to four drug counts.
Awesome.
They involve.
How many more drugs does she have to sell to pay for? Also, wait, hold on. I want to go back a second.
Yeah.
I've never had to hire an attorney, but I don't think you're going to be able to hire an attorney at $4 a bump.
It was $10 a bump.
Oh, $10. Sorry. Oh, that's so much better.
Yeah, it was $10. All right.
It was only four bumps, Rich. Yeah. She's only going to make $40.
All right.
What?
$40 is better than zero.
What attorney on God's green earth will work a case for $40?
Hey, like, lawyers are desperate. Somebody's got
to
jump
at
this.
Do you know how many bumps she would have to sell? Also, I hate the fact that it's measured in bumps.
Yeah, the bump. You got to have the bumps.
Do I want to look up how much a bump is?
I don't know. You may have to do that on your incognito.
I'm going incognito. I'll let you know.
Yep. Her four drug counts include meth, crack, oxycodone, and fentanyl. Maybe she had some cash stashed at hand because she was issued an $18,000 bond and she posted it. So she actually does have a third chance now. She actually is back out on the street.
She's back out on the street?
Yeah, she bonded out of jail. So, look, maybe we can... Look, is there any lawyer out there that can help her in Florida? We don't want her to have to actually become Walter White here and have to try and make the drugs in order to secure a lawyer for her other two... Her other four charges.
Aren't you provided a public defender?
Logic. Logic went out the window.
There's no logic.
No. There's no logic here.
So, I found an answer, actually.
What, a bump? How much a bump
so,
is?
Now, I don't know. I'm in place of the internet I don't want to be in, but...
Because you done goofed.
Yeah. So, I'm on the cocaine subreddit.
And what? There's a cocaine subreddit?
There's a cocaine subreddit.
What is it, R cocaine?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, somebody...
What the hell, Reddit?
Somebody asked, how big is...
Are you serious, Reddit? There's R cocaine?
There's a subreddit for everything,
Dear
Rich.
God.
You know this.
R cocaine.
You know there's a subreddit for everything.
Oh, my God.
So, somebody asks, how big is a key bump in grams?
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So this person says that the average... What is a key bump? Is...
Oh, now we're up to key bumps. We have bumps,
well,
now key bumps.
It's 0.05 grams.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
So, I don't know if that comes out to a dollar or not.
Okay, there you go.
But that, I feel like I didn't answer any question there.
Very good. Very good.
I tried. I didn't want to, because I was afraid to search how much is a bump.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like I'm trying to buy.
We're going to get the DEA coming in through
the
door.
I'm trying not to have people come and arrest us on the show.
Although that would be newsworthy.
That would be pretty interesting. It would be very
local
interesting.
Local podcast gets arrested after researching drug prices.
I sat for a while and thought how to search that without getting in trouble. These are the things you don't think about, Rich. It's only incognito mode. I'm not going through some fancy, you know, VPN or anything like that. I'm just in incognito mode.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, maybe this lady, Nicole Gregory, she needs to invest in something like that because she can't afford being found a third time.
No, because right. Then she'll have to start making drugs to pay for it.
No, she's gonna. She's already up to level three.
Right.
One was holding it. Two was selling it. Three is making it.
I think the trafficking has to be in there.
Nah.
Why nah?
No, I like three. Three levels.
Okay.
Three strikes, you're out. I like it.
Sure.
Also, it's not like the 80s where people were strapping drugs to their chest and coming through Mexico.
Yes, they do.
They don't really do that anymore. Do they?
No, they put drugs in condoms and they swallow them.
Oh, yeah, we had that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Whoops, I forgot about
that. That's a legit thing.
Yeah, we did have that news story.
I think this lady's going to become a drug kingpin, though.
Well, if she goes that...
She's starting small and she's going to build her way up. Every drug charge, she gets more and more brazen.
Well, I hate to say this, but, you know, if that's the route she wants to go under, you know, we definitely have had stories in the past about the old hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah!
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
She put some drugs up there.
Yeah.
I think trafficking has got to be a step there.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Think about how many bumps is in a machine gun, Rich.
How many machine guns can fit up there?
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I never thought that clip would be useful again, but here we are.
That clip is always useful.
2021. Thank you.
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And there you go.
There you go. On that note.
What circular logic?
I'll get out of my drug charge by selling drugs to pay for an attorney for my drug charge.
Brilliant.
Yes. It's foolproof. It's a circle. That means nothing can get in or out. It's soundproof.
Yes. There you go. There's no flaws.
Circular logic is perfect.
It's actually a moat that goes around your brain.
It protects the logic.
Yes.
Inside the circle.
Right. So there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Crazy stuff there. Well, you know, we're starting to wrap up this episode, but just want to say to everyone, I hope everyone has a very happy Thanksgiving, with it being the holiday coming up. As a result, there's one special clip that I wanted to play in honor of Thanksgiving that I pulled.
Oh.
This
is a surprise.
It's a surprise.
Okay.
It's from the Angry Video Game Nerd, and I think this is the time to play it. I'm never going to get another chance to play it unless we have a turkey odd news story. So here we go. The special Thanksgiving send-off sound clip.
Get the turkeys! Get the turkeys! Get the turkeys! Get the turkey! Get the turkey! Get the turkey! The fork's in the turkey! Fork in the turkey! Watch the phone! Watch the phone! Ah! Those fucking phones always stopping me from getting my turkey before it falls in the garbage!
Yeah, there you go. That was actually an actual game that is on that is on an old Nintendo game.
Wow.
Or no, it was a Commodore 64 game. Excuse me. I'm already losing. It was a Commodore 64 game.
Games were weird.
Where
back in the day.
You had to catch a turkey and avoid the telephones.
Right.
If you caught a telephone, you lost.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
True story.
Yeah, you know, because obviously when you have Thanksgiving, you have the turkey, the stuffing, the mashed potatoes, and the telephones.
Yes. My only, obviously. My only logic to that is maybe back in the 80s, the logic is you're cooking the Thanksgiving turkey, and if you answer the phone, you get distracted and you burn the turkey.
Well, it's symbolic of humans being distracted by material possessions and constant connection, that they miss the connection around them, which is sharing the meal of turkey on Thanksgiving. The more you know.
There you go. Just remember to get the turkey this weekend.
Get the turkeys! Get the turkeys! Get the turkeys! Get the turkey! Get the turkey! Get the turkey! The fork's in the turkey! Fork in the turkey! Watch the phone! Watch the phone! Ah! Those fucking phones always stopping me from getting my turkey before it falls in the garbage!
I just love how angry he gets. Because if you're playing a video game, if you're a video gamer, you need to admit to this. There's probably been a sentence that you have screamed at the TV that absolutely out of context does not make any sense.
Does not make any sense. Oh, all the time.
You know?
Absolutely.
So there you go. If you're playing that Commodore 64 game, you would have said something like, get the effing turkey.
Get the turkey.
Before the phone gets it.
Get the fork in the turkey.
Yes. So there you go. Random sound clip, but appropriate for Thanksgiving, because I don't know when else we're going to have a chance to play this.
Get the turkeys! Get the turkeys! Get the turkeys! Get the turkey! Get the turkey! Get the turkey! The fork's in the turkey! Fork in the turkey! Watch the phone! Watch the phone! Ah! Those fucking phones always stopping me from getting my turkey before it falls in the garbage!
So, there you go. And with that, it's time to wrap this up. There you go. That's how you know I'm losing it. I should have had a better spot to play that clip, but I forgot about it like this whole show. And then I remembered this is the Thanksgiving episode. I'm like, oh, this is my only time to play this clip. So there you go. At least I remembered at the end.
There
I
you
got
go.
It at the
there
end.
There you go. That's what matters.
Yeah. Whoops.
It's okay, Rich. We'll forgive you.
Thank you very much. Folks, thank you for making it to the end of the show. The craziness of our show, the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispyNoodle.com. Make sure you follow us on all the social media dishes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the dishes available.
Dishes? What is happening?
It's like a plate.
Sure.
You know, you got a plate of Facebook.
And including...
A plate of Instagram. I don't know.
In addition to all those dishes, you can have a bowl of YouTube channel.
Yeah, there you go. A nice yummy bowl of YouTube.
A nice yummy bowl of YouTube. Perfect. Where you can find steamy heapings of video podcasts.
Perfect.
For your entertainment. But you can also find a platter of audio podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts.
A whole smorgasbord.
Amazon devices. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on either YouTube or on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we've got mini noodle appetizers. So you can check that out.
We're running with it, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, it is. We are built around a meal.
That's true.
So it works. So we've got the mini noodle appetizers as well. You can have a little two-minute treat before you go to your Thanksgiving and enjoy turkey and phones and everything like that.
Delicious.
Delicious.
In addition to all that, you can wash it all down with a tall glass of reaching out to us on our personal Twitters, where you can share your sports, entertainment, and odd news stories. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters and send us tasty morsels of news or future podcast topics that you want us to talk about. Shoot it our way. We'll take all suggestions under consideration, and we'll give you a crispy noodle shout out if we run with them. But in all seriousness, it's time to wrap this up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That will do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.